The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Max Carlin. Max, how's it going today?
I'm doing all right, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to have our friend Petey Webb on the show for the first time in a little bit, I think. Petey, how's it going today?
It's going great. It's wonderful to be back.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And I mean,
we're very excited to have you back.
Today is an exciting episode because we are talking about the one and only Evan Mobley, who really is a wildly unique player, and a guy who is really cementing himself as in my eyes, the number two prospect in this class. And then it's just a question of whether he's in his own tier there or if he's in the first tier or the second tier with Suggs. We'll see. So Evan Mobley, PD, do you want to maybe go over quickly what some of our concerns were coming into the year? Because we did do a little bit of preview stuff, while we were trying to handle both of these draft classes in the late summer, and we came to the conclusion, I think, that Mobley kind of hangs over all of this as a guy who could be a potentially special prospect, who I think we were all kind of tentatively in on. But he had a rough senior year. So what were you thinking coming into the year with Mobley and kind of what has he started to answer there?
I think that his senior year was rough in a really specific way in that he wasn't challenged and he looked somewhat disinterested. So it's hard to judge the experimentation that he was having. I was like, is that his game now? Or is this just, you know, a kid who's extremely overqualified for high school basketball? Concern coming into USC was, you know, the fit broadly, the changes that he had made over the past 18 months where he looked, you know, like one of the best prospects in the world as a junior in high school to his, you know, basically not knowing what we were going to get the first game at USC. The reassurances in that corner were that, you know, he's with his brother, he's with his dad, he's with a higher level of competition. And he emerged from that hibernation more than you could possibly want. He basically stepped right back into the junior year mode of like, okay, this is an alien, after having that senior year being like, I don't really know what to do with this guy. Like, I very much know what to do with Evan Mobley, and the answer is he can kind of do everything, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really become clear to me, is that he can do everything in a way that I think makes him a really unique offensive and defensive weapon. But let's focus on the offense first. Just think about all the different things that you can do with Evan Mobley. Like, if you're you know, operating out of you know, Horn's alignment with him, like, he can handle in like snug pick and roll there. You can set up situations where he can then cut and get downhill. Then just in you know, other situations, he's an elite roll man because of his quick leaping, because of his insane unparalleled catch radius and coordination. He's a guy who if he pick and pops, then if you're closing out hard on him, because of his footwork and his burst and his coordination with the ball, he's going to blow by you. And then even though he's this skinny guy, if you give him a cushion, he's going to use that space, and he's going to use that space to his advantage. He's going to initiate contact with you, and then he's just going to get to these little like hooks and push shots and fadeaways in the paint from like, you know, 9 feet out that he's releasing 11 feet in the air and are like just legitimately untouchable because of this just truly, truly unparalleled combination of coordination, size, and length. You know, it's hard to envision who can really defend Evan Mobley when you consider how scalable and versatile he is, that he can slide in and out of all these different roles where he's a legitimate face-up guy, he's a legitimate post-up guy, and a guy who because he is such a good passer, except, I mean, you know, last night, I think McKinley Wright IV got the better of him a bunch of times off the ball because he was able to, you know, play multiple things, maybe a little bit better than Mobley is used to from off-ball defenders. But you know, he's a guy who can legitimately create out of the post for himself and others, really drive offense from there. And at the same time, you know, if you do run into that rare matchup, which I think is someone like Anthony Davis, who will really have that unique combination of size, quickness, speed, length, to maybe contend with Evan Mobley, chasing him off screens if you want to get him downhill looks there, you know, as a role man recovering to him, you know, handling him on these pick and pops. Like, if you have Anthony Davis, then that's fine because Evan Mobley can scale back and just be, you know, one of the better role men in the entire league. So he's just this like kind of game breaking offensive weapon who is so scalable that no matter who you're up against, he's going to be a significant offensive weapon, and he's going to sustain value, I think, through so many different matchups.
How would you try to describe Evan Mobley's offense in 5 points or less?
Oh my God. Very skilled giant I don't know. It's tough because the physicality, I think, in combination with the size and coordination and length. I like that's the like how many big man prospects can you think of who got what Mobley does out of his length?
Yeah, he's unreal. His functionality with it is unbelievable. Like,
yeah, but like, especially on offense, like I really do think that you know, you talk about a big man who at this stage, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, at this stage is not really a shooter out to three, at least, and you know, is not a burly guy who's going to be banging in the post. Like, I think you hear that and it sounds like something that doesn't make a lot of sense and something that doesn't really work. And, or at the very least that he's restricted to just being a role man. But the way Evan Mobley plays is so unique in how he uses space, in how he's physical, his usage of footwork, his body control, and just the application of his length as a finisher at the rim and as a finisher, you know, in the paint and short mid, he just gets to these shots that are completely untouchable. And I think that they're kind of going to be there. I mean, even when he's at a strength deficit, you see him being physical and even if, you know, you see the lack of strength show up, it almost doesn't matter a lot of the time because he can just still get to these shots that, you know, maybe they're not amazing shots, maybe they're not at the absolute center of your offense, but he gets to these just untouchable shots whenever he wants.
Can I give my attempt at
yes,
in 5 words? I was trying to do this with somebody who hadn't seen him before and was trying to understand what it was about. And the best I could come up with is Ayton plus Bagley divided by 2. As prospects, like, it's just sort of this midpoint between like a lot of generational guys, like guys that you're like, this is something that's truly weird. Like, he isn't off the ground as fast as Bagley, but it's like somewhat reminiscent. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't, you know, slaughter lesser guys in the way that like Ayton did, where if you give somebody who just like couldn't handle physicality and would murder them in a way that's pretty unlike anything else. But it's close. And it's really a testament to his development I've kind of talked about this in other places, but we're entering a generation of guys who were raised on Kat and Jokic. And the combination of like a ton of playing time, obviously the extra gym time that Los Angeles offers guys, the offensive experimentation of playing for a high school that's centered around you, the fundamentals of having a dad who is a pro, and the competition that comes with having an older brother who's also 7 feet tall and stronger than you. Like, as a serious question, when do you think the first time Evan Mobley played a pro was? Like, he's been doing this for so long.
He must have been very young.
Yeah. And he plays with this sort of exposure where, like, you can watch him play and you see him pattern recognizing in a way that young bigs almost never do. Because, to be honest, he's probably seen every single type of coverage possible, and not just out of his low post looks, but out of his short roll looks, out of his wing catches, out of his bringing the ball down. Like, yes, you could, you know, get a lot out of DHOs from him in Horns, but you can also get a lot having him be the ball handler in Horns. Mm. You could have him be the person who enters to Horns and then goes and runs a split cut to Pop.
Yeah, you really could.
As a teenager. And like, that's sort of the beauty of what Evan Mobley could be, is that like, there's not really a defined offensive usage. Like, you're going to have things like the fadeaway that he shoots downwards, where it's like, that's a foundational aspect of his game. You know, these quick finishes where he gets up and then throws it down, like almost like a big man dunking in like the 60s.
That and that's really what, like, so much of it looks like 60s and 70s, where it's just this like stick thin George Gervin style guy who's just reaching up with his arms and dropping the ball into the net.
And that's so hard. Like, see, when we think of 60s and 70s, like it's sort of like, oh, these dudes all spent their time working at the heavy box factory, or, you know, were finishing their night shift as an ambulance driver or whatever. But to jump straight up and then put the ball straight down is so hard, because it creates a really tiny block window. No one is going to get the ball at the top from Evan Mobley, almost ever. Even when he has like a small load up time, even with his really thin legs, you have to catch it on the way down. And a lot of bigs simply aren't willing to put their hand that close to the rim while somebody tries to push it downwards. That is very close to blocking your hand. That is the reason that dudes did not want to try Bill Russell at the rim, is you could really get your hand broken on the rim.
Yeah, I mean, that's like where you've kind of gotten at, is that Mobley can kind of do everything on offense. Like, there are just the list of ways to use him, it doesn't end, because you can just come up with new things that no one has ever done before, because I'm not really sure that there's been an Evan Mobley before. PD, what do you see as the hangups with Mobley offensively? Some flaws where you're concerned about, you know, not even necessarily that he won't work. I don't really think that there's that much room to be concerned about Mobley not working, because he can always simply just be a role man. But where are some areas where you maybe worry about that super high level ceiling, where we're talking about a truly, you know, franchise changing superstar?
So I think that it's going to be difficult to temper our language here, because Mobley is such an exceptional talent. So like, I think a trap that could happen if he's drafted into a situation that's less than ideal, this will sort of fall into that like Jermaine O'Neal group, where like, sometimes you're dominant, but it isn't necessarily in a way that is an ecosystem unto itself. Like, J.O. could get you, like, has, you know, career highs of 50, but there was times where you just threw the ball into him at the post, and like, you lived with whatever the circumstances were. Obviously Mobley is a little higher processor, but that is a category of guys. I think that you have the physical concerns about like how he puts on weight. His movement skills are astounding with how he moves through space. Like, it's not uncommon to see him like two-step from the three-point line with people guarding him. And there isn't a guarantee that that gets added onto. You always have concerns about guys adding shooting and strength at the same time, because there's flexibility concerns and how their body is distributed, or how their weight is distributed to their upper body. But these are really minute concerns. It's really the idea of how much usage you want to give him. Do I think that he's going to be a guy that like carries 30 usage in the league? Most likely not. But figuring out, you know, how you want his pass shoot optimization to be, how you want, you know, his ideal catch to be, whether that's, you know, coming off a rub screen from post to post, whether that's as a guy who's explicitly just rolls to the rim, whether you want him to initiate offense. Like, these are questions that every NBA staff is going to have to figure out, because I think there are going to be teams that have Mobley ahead of Cade.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of got at that. I'm at least sympathetic to that. Like, I'm definitely considering Mobley in tier one. The problem is, you know, to what level, I think, do you buy Cade as a true, like, heliocentric superstar? Because I think Mobley is much more in the Anthony Davis mold of the ultimate scalable, ceiling-raising superstar. But with that comes, you know, he's probably not at the, you know, the absolute center of your offense. And you kind of have to, like PD said, you have to balance what he's doing offensively. But I think that, you know, there are also elements in which he can definitely be even more additive in a more limited role than someone like Anthony Davis, because, you know, he is such a uniquely quick processor that he does have these moments on the short roll where he's catching the ball and then it is fired to the, you know, to the weak side corner. He's a really, really unique talent. I think that there are endless, endless ways to use him. He's just, you know, tremendously exciting player on the offensive end. And that doesn't even, you know, we haven't even started talking about his defense yet.
So it's really rare with young guys that you find like facets to their game. Like, usually young guys can do like one or two things really well, and that's enough. The difference going from my experience watching college Mobley versus college Wiseman is like, could not be more day and night. Because like every single time I've watched Mobley in college, this isn't necessarily something that happened in high school, but definitely in college, is that he'll encounter a problem and solve it differently than I think he would. Like last night against Colorado, he short-stopped a roll. So like the ball came to him, he caught it on the short roll, they lobbed it in, and he saw that there was a help side defender coming to take a charge. And it's like the usual garbage college charge. There's only so many ways to solve this problem, and he kind of picked the hardest one, which is to come to a complete stop on a jump stop and let the person fake fall over, wait long enough for the ref to recognize it, and finish in the hope that they count it as an and one.
It was incredible because, yeah, it was just completely stop your momentum instantaneously. Like you said, wait for it, for the proof that you didn't, you know, impart any force onto the defender. He just fell and then just dropped the ball. It was really incredible. I think that it's such a ridiculous intersection with him of feel and having seen so many different scenarios, with also being an all-time truly one of a kind physical talent in 40 different ways.
Yeah, I mean, the pass and the referee were at a 90 degree angle. So the ref is standing in his blind spot, so he has no way of checking with them. He just did it and being like, okay, because it had been drilled into him, they're like, this is an option for a thing to potentially do. And like, that's so hard to do for young guys. Just be like, just trust that the ref will make the right call. Don't look at him, because if you look, you can't get the finish. Because if he looks back over his shoulder, there's no way they're going to call that a continuation, especially in college. But he knew the timing and he got it off basically as close as you could to demonstrating that he was coming at a full stop and that this was a flop, it should be called a block, and getting the continuation. There's just so many things with him. Like the way that he does like small hops to get into moves where he knows that he's not quite strong enough to jump off one. Like he likes to jump off two, but he'll jump off one when it's super quick. And his ability to time when he needs to jump and figure out when he has enough window to power hop to get the extra explosion off 2 feet is like a thing that you get both on offense and defense. And it is enjoyable to watch a young technician who's also still figuring things out in terms of what's possible.
Yeah, it's remarkable, like, how under control, like, he always is on both ends. And I think, like, that hop step is a good example where, like, he knows where and when and how he's most explosive. So he's just always willing on both ends to, like, take that extra step and use his footwork to get to his spots to, you know, give him the best chance of finishing. And I think it shows up even more on the defensive end, which we'll get into, like, as a rim protector, where he just, like, will use that to, like, hold himself back and perfectly time a block where he's you pretty much never see Evan Mobley, like, flying out of control or, like, flailing for blocks. Like, all of it is, like, pristinely timed and executed, like, always.
And then teams will sometimes, like, overload. I mean, USC doesn't have ideal spacing, and they'll frequently trot out three or four dudes above 6'8". So teams, you know, just pack the paint against pick and rolls. And when Mobley pops, like, his pop footwork, his jumping footwork is perfect for his pop footwork. He's a natural hop shooter. And he doesn't necessarily have to pop to three, but he can. And even if he, like, short rolls after his pop, like, he'll get into these, like, 11 footers that he's still shooting downwards.
Yeah. Yeah. The short roll, like, jumpers, where he works in the footwork and some handling there are really impressive. And he can get to the 9-foot jumpers that are he's shooting down. And, you know, he's a guy with who can, I think, really hit those at a level that makes some very good shots. Go ahead.
It is a thing I frequently see people get upset about with Giannis, is that, like, when he pick and pops, Giannis sometimes will, like, reject that 11-foot jumper out of a twist where he kind of has a guy on his hip, but he can just use the release point. Like, Giannis is not comfortable with that shot. Mm. And, like, Evan Mobley will take that shot 50 times in a game.
Yeah, that's the shot that Evan Mobley wants to get.
And it's a somewhat, like, I wouldn't, he can take it off balance, but, like, in an NBA game, that's going to be an off balance off a, like, a light twist with a guy on your hip who's, like, you know, going to have, you know, a +6, +7 wingspan. And, like, that's never going to be a concern for Evan Mobley to get off.
Yeah.
And that is so encouraging.
Yeah. I think a couple things that we should address in terms of concerns. How do you envision the strength hindering him?
Okay. So the thing that happens most often with, like, tall and skinny guys with high hips, and, like, it should be noted that Evan Mobley has the highest hips I've ever seen. Like,
they're really high.
He moves really well, but just if you look at where his hip line is, it is really, really, really high. He does look like a giraffe in terms of how he moves. That's probably going to balance out as he, like, gets older. It won't be as noticeably high, but, like, it's a concern. So with skinny guys, like, what will happen is that shorter guys will put their hip below the tall guy's hip, and it'll sort of tip the release point downwards of the tall guy. This is sort of like your classic 6'6", like, ACC center. Or, like, how is this? Like, Dewan Blair would just murder tall people with this. And so it tips the release point down, and it's very difficult to shoot without your hips, like, especially when they're tilted out. Mobley is so tall, and the release point is so high that it's not going to be as much of a concern. I think his issue is going to be with guys who are more explosive than him, where he has to judge that. Just when you put him and Wiseman next to each other, like, Wiseman gets out of the blocks. Like, he'll get higher faster. He's not gonna get off the ground as fast, but he'll get up to a more explosive point. And I think that's going to be the issue with guys who are more out of a block than him. I think that he's gonna have some issue getting dribbles off against more explosive guys, just because they can bump him. And he can't necessarily giraffe by everybody. He's going to need to have a core stability point to get to the Giannis where he can do bump euros, which is the thing would like to see most out of him. That's where you have a guy on one shoulder, you give him a slight bump, and you replace with the other shoulder as stepping in the opposite direction. So sort of replacing left shoulder, right shoulder. It allows you to change directions. That's all core and butt. And those are the areas that Mobley is currently lightest on. Like, arm strength is whatever. It's not, he's not ever going to look cut. He's always going to look like KD. It's just a nature of having that body type. But he needs to be able to explode through contact in big spaces, because he, in small spaces, he can just contort his way out of things. Like, you know, he is 10 times the yoga practitioner that, like, Zaire Williams is. He can just, like, fold himself into these, you know, weird spaces. Like, he's at the place, he's farther along than Brandon Ingram is, and Ingram had, you know, a crazy flexibility curve.
Yeah, I mean, he really does. When he's on the interior, like, he really can just, like, wiggle through these tiny spaces. And then, like, you know, if he gets baseline from one block, like, he can just reach under the rim and throw it up on the other side. And, like,
it's really remarkable how he can, like, just generate wide-open layups in, like, very heavy traffic where most other humans who have played basketball would find contested shots or turnovers.
And that's a mixture of playing up and having to, like, you know, when you're 14 and you're really skinny, like, you have to figure out some real creative ways to get the ball to that rim. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, 6'9", which, I mean, he was at that age. But, like, you just have to think your way through things. Where if you play down, you know, if he's playing his age rather than playing against pros, you know, no one's ever getting that. But you can tell that he's used to playing NBA competition in a way that, like, other young bigs are not, because they would just try to force it over the top. And he's like, well, if I put a little bit of English on this as I extend it about 3 feet and make the angle different, it's like, you don't have to do that right now. Like, eventually we're gonna have to get there. But, like, just watching him solve these extremely complex problems against, like, Pac-12 defenses is so much fun.
Before we move on to defense, should we talk about shooting?
Can we talk about the passing a little bit first?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The dude could pass. Like, I don't think it needs a ton of recognition, because we've already talked about processing, but, like, he thinks so quickly. He thinks through things so quickly. He has the same flexibility that allows him to finish, allows him to get off passes at unique angles. So he may not necessarily have the most complicated handle, but he can manipulate the ball and manipulate the defender enough to create passing angles, which is enough. Like, and his understanding of the broader game and the geometry allows him to operate as a higher level passer than what his handle and his positioning would normally necessitate. Like, that's just years of being, you know, a guard in you know, big pick and rolls with his brother. It's fun.
Yeah. The same, like, versatility he has as a scorer applies, like, everywhere as a passer. Like, out of the post, like, he'll dribble out of double teams consistently and, like, find weak side skip passes out of like we talked about, out of the short roll, you know, finding hits to the corner or lay downs. And then, it, like you said, and, like, snug pick and rolls with Isaiah. I mean, just, it's just ridiculous. Like, he'll bring the ball up court and, like, hit full court lob passes. It's just unreal, like, the versatility he has as a passer. Like, functionally, aside with just his, you know, preternatural ability to process the game and read the floor. Like,
think about what early offense Evan Mobley is going to look like in the NBA.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like,
again, Charlotte Hornets, lose some games, please. Just as a bit, lose a bunch of games.
That would be absolutely unreal. Yeah, that would be unreal. I mean, I think he's going to be unreal, really, wherever he ends up.
You could have Melo on the receiving end of the full court lobs.
But he really is. He really is throwing, like, these full court hit aheads.
Yeah, he's done it at least twice this year, like, that I can remember. Like,
I mean, at the same time, like, he is going to grab and go, beat everyone down the court, because, like, who covers ground like that? And then he's just going to, like, settle into his little post up, and he's going to be super deep position on a mismatch. And he's going to turn around and release the ball down from 11 and a half feet in the air. And there's nothing that you will ever be able to do about it. And this is just the offense. This is just the offense.
To be fair, his weaker end.
Yeah. It's true, though. It is true. And that's the scary thing, is that you have this. And this ultimately, to me, is the case for him tier one, is that you have this scalable superstar who is going to be able to do anything entirely dependent on what the situation and the opposition is, you know, conceding to you. And so, like, unless you're playing the greatest team of all time that's completely flawless, like, Evan Mobley is going to have some kind of an advantage somewhere and have some sort of use on offense that's kind of game-breaking. He can scale back and just be one of the league's best role men if necessary, and on top of that, a ultra-high feel cutter, screener, and, like, garbage man because of his quick leaping as, you know, putbacks and from the dunker spot and whatnot. So you have this ultra, ultra scalable offensive player who's highly valuable and highly additive because of his super quick processing. And then on the defensive end, he is a totally game-breaking, extraordinarily versatile big man. And it's just it's crazy. I mean, he's an amazing prospect.
I think the only matchups that make me a little bit uncomfortable is like Braun at the five matchups, maybe, where it's going to be guys who are like nuts athletes who have a like more core strength and also like an implicit understanding of angles, because it might. But
what happens?
Probably just to be like a little bit more perimeter oriented, or like get him uncomfortable. I don't think it's a solution by any sense, but like that's what I would, if I was playing, you know, 22-year-old Evan Mobley, I would just be trying like my best athlete at the five who's like a little bit heavier.
So what then happens like on those cross screens and he catches the ball like at the block and he just then drops the ball into the net because that's what he does, or like he runs off of like a UCLA cut and, you know, catches the ball and it's just, you know, he's just laying it right in because that's what he does, because he's covering that ground and can contort in ways where he can get a shot off when, you know, someone else would have to do something before being able to get a shot off, or, you know, he's getting to a shot without needing to dribble or anything. And then releasing the ball truly where LeBron James can't touch it. Like LeBron just cannot touch the ball where Evan Mobley is going to be releasing it.
Yeah. I mean, what you would try to do is like, you would brush the fit, you would fight the brush as hard as possible. Mm. But then like a good guard, like I'm going to say a good guard, the solution to that is you basically run back shoulder fades. Like you throw the lob to 12 feet. It's like, hey, you don't have to dunk it. Just lightly tap it, and no one's going to be able to get it at 12 feet.
And he can do that because he's uniquely coordinated. He already has multiple lobs this year where he's caught like pretty bad passes and contorted and just – and not, you know, he doesn't punch at home. He just lays it in off the bad pass, and it's too easy for him. And he also has, you know, several finishes where he maintains his balance, avoids the contest, does a little double clutch, and just lays it right in because – he's just so unique from a size and coordination standpoint.
So a thing that happens with a lot of like professional athletes, specifically professional basketball players, like they get bored with dunking. Like, they've just done every dunk and it's like that's not the part that's enjoyable. It's like the contortion at this point is more like challenging for him than dunking, and he's reached the I'm bored with dunking and I'm just doing things I think are cool as a teenager. Like Zion's probably dunked hundreds of thousands of times, but it's going to take him until he's like, you know, in his late 30s to be like, well, okay, this time I'll just tap it in. Or what if I double clutched it and lightly laid it around? Like Mobley is such a unique development arc just because like he's one of the guys that's been good since sixth grade as like this one's next. And he's basically, his most disappointing time was his senior year of high school where he was simply awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Before we move on to the defense, should we talk about shooting a little bit?
Yeah.
You want to take this, PD?
Yeah, I mean, he is shooting currently. That's sort of the best point, is that he is, I have him at 14 catch and shoots for 1.2 points per possession. It's only 20% of his offense. He takes them with varying amounts of coverage. Like, he doesn't need to be shoot at you coward open. He'll take them off the dribble as well. The release is slow. The elbow's a little bit funny. My biggest issue with it, other than like his feet are too close, is that when he, it feels like he's unfurling his jumper at times. Like the gather motion from his hip to the top release point goes out quite a bit and then comes back up. That's pretty fixable. Just, you know, making that an elevator rather than like a boom. He's going to shoot. Like full stop, he's absolutely going to shoot. He's almost always on balance. The release is nuts. He shoots with the right finger. He probably needs like a small fix on the shooting bed. At times it feels a little bit diagonal and some left, right, but like the mixture of touch indicators, the passing, just how good looking it is. Like it looks clunky because everything else with him is so smooth. But if you put his jumper on any other big prospect, you'd be like, oh, this dude is like already a shooter. Like if you put his jumper onto Precious, we would have called Precious a stretch five.
Yeah. And then, so then the question is, what level of shooter is he? Because this is a 7-foot teenager who's taking like hang dribble pull-ups. So, you know, there's some scary stuff there when you consider that we've already talked about him as a guy who like can legitimately handle. And I mean, what, like if Evan Mobley is actually hitting pick and pop jumpers, like that alone is terrifying. And that doesn't even get into the fact that like you know, it, with a guy with that coordination and handling ability and feel and just, you know, processing time, man, it's really, really scary.
Yeah. I mean, like beyond the fact that like you said, he's already shooting the hang drill pull-ups, like, 14 for 27 on long two so far this year, which is pretty awesome for this sample. Like, I mean, it's, I think it's pretty conceivable that, you know, he takes those 9-10 footers where he's, you know, shooting a little off balance with his awesome touch and length and basically shooting downwards. And it's a similar motion extending those out to, you know, 15 feet and 17 feet and 20 feet. Maybe one day we extend them to 24. Like,
I think that it's more likely that he shoots like well above the break than he doesn't.
Wow.
Like, I think that his, like, just based on how the mechanics of it work, like, I just wouldn't be shocked if he gets to, like, unless he has like the weird KG thing where like threes weird him out, which is the only thing that kept KG from shooting threes. Like, I just don't, I don't see a way, unless there's some you know, pre-draft jumper tinkering that like goes, you know, horribly wrong, or like there's a fault situation where like there's a thing that's way beyond basketball, or you know, the realms of modern medicine, like, he's going to shoot. The level is sort of determined to the coaching staff being like, how many threes would you like Evan Mobley to take? Because this is basically as close to like tabula rasa as we've gotten for a big. Like, I guess since like is Sheed probably the closest thing in terms of like guy who you can kind of make do anything. It's up to the coaching staff and, you know, his whims to figure out exactly what you want the usage to be.
PD, she'd played at UNC like well before the two of us were alive.
But you're students at the game. I know you weren't physically there, like being like, oh, did she just invent the Spain pick and roll, which he did. But like, you are aware of it, and I know one of you has some Boston opinions, so we may have doubled back to it. So, I mean, I think that about does it for the offense. Like, unless you want to talk about what it means, like, for dudes who are supposed to guard him, because, like,
I do think that's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
who guards him?
Who do you put Jaren on him? Is that the idea?
That, I mean, maybe that's a good one, because like, he can actually move like that. I mean, Jaren's just gonna foul him a million times, but I was thinking about like some of the guys who have had success with Giannis. I've talked about this with our pal Zach Milner, that like, it's definitely conceivable that someone like Gobert could give him trouble, just because he might actually have the reach to sort of disrupt some of those shots. But it's,
I mean,
it's,
then again, imagine Gobert like chasing Mobley off of
which screen. Which is why I think the answer, like, is Anthony Davis. Like, the answer is Anthony Davis, yeah, is that he's kind of the guy.
Okay, but I guess like there's only one AD.
Exactly.
I'm thinking in archetype terms. Like,
oh well, yeah, no. That's the point, is that there's one Anthony Davis. He is one of like the all-time ceiling raiser you know, complimentary players, so to speak. Like Anthony, you know, he is the one guy, I think, archetype that deals with Mobley. I don't know that there is one. I think that there's really a problem for everyone. And simply the fact that, like, it's not like Mobley does two things that conceivably should be impossible for most players to deal with. It's that he can do literally everything. Like, he can do literally everything on the offensive side of the court. And I just don't know how you possibly deal with that as long as he's being utilized to, you know, his fullest capabilities.
Yeah, it's a protean big man. I think that you have to ask what makes him uncomfortable. I think the difference between like a Giannis type who wants to beat downhill and a Mobley who like sort of wants to make the schematic right decision, who like sort of wants team advantage first. That's sort of why the Kool-Aid thought came out his like junior and senior year. I think it's partially because of his disposition. You know, again, if you're a prospect and you scream, people just assume you're good on defense. Doesn't matter how good you actually are. But like, there's a lot of guys who are just god awful, who clench their fists and yell, and we decide that they're, you know, high intensity defenders.
Yeah, if you slap the floor, you're a good defender.
Which is good hustle. Like, honestly, if you're lying to evaluators that efficiently, like, by all means, you should do that. I think that with Mobley, you don't want him to think, because like he's going to solve these problems really quickly. If you can make him doubt his thinking process and like put on blinders, I think that's the most effective way to do it. So rather than saying like, what do you take away from him or what do you give him? You simply just say, we're giving you one thing. Like, we are going to make you a shooter. We are going to make you a person who only makes this read. And since he is somebody who's best as like sort of a thin miasma across the entire game, by limiting his impact offensively to one distinct area, being like the only thing he gets is post touches. If he has to take that turn, that 16 foot face up, he's taken that 26 times this game. I think that's probably the way of making him invisible on a game. He's still obviously going to make an impact offensively or defensively, but on offense, the teams that he's going to be best on are teams that allow him to do so much of everything. So by shrinking his role down to a concrete box, it's going to make the connecting pieces much more susceptible to like their own issues. This is sort of like kind of like what people do in theory, to be honest, when they want to put it on Chris Middleton, back when they thought Chris Middleton was bad. But it's like, oh, you just make Chris Middleton create. And it's like, well, Chris Middleton hit 19 of 19 pull-up jumpers. So like, I don't know what you're supposed to do here. That's the best answer. Who does that? I honestly think it's like dudes who are built like Julius Randle, because like the dudes who are built like Mitchell Robinson aren't going to have the ability to just keep him one way in one area. Like, it's so hard to cage in a guy like Mobley because of his stride length. I think it's much easier just to like beat him to a spot and be like, okay, if you want to take this 12 footer, it's now an 18 footer. If you want to drive, we're going to bump you off every single time. And hopefully you can just sort of herd him into these tougher shots and let him become just a scorer. That's the best explanation I have. And like, man, that is a terrifying thing to think about as defensive coordinator.
Yeah. And I mean, at his median, you know, maybe that is actually a winning approach. But if he even hits like a remotely high level outcome, that's probably just going to be another way that you're going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, with superstars, you don't beat them. You just have a punching chance. Like, this was, you know, the Braun philosophy was like, well, it's not that he's not going to win this. It's that he won't win the way that he might want to. He's going to have to win our way. It's like, sometimes you take that moral victory. Sometimes, you know, the numbers shake out on that particular 7-game dice roll. But the fact that we're talking about this after all of the terrible conversations we had last class is so much fun. Last class, yeah. Like, if this guy gets on, like, you know, if he goes to the Raptors, he'll be okay. Now we're at, like, how do you beat this in a playoff series? Like, how, honestly, like, what's your best plan? And so far, the solutions we have are Bam and AD for a teenager. Man, we're in a good place in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same conversation that you have with Cade, right? It's, like, halfway through the first half of his first college game, Cade was realized, okay, I cannot play like CP like I want to. I'm just going to have to score a lot. And he just started doing that. You know, these are guys who you make them uncomfortable and they're still going to beat you because they're sensational players.
Yeah. The second that like everyone's like, oh yeah, you just make Cade shoot. And then Cade sort of was like, y'all didn't.
Yeah. I'm going to like stop on a dime with a behind the back and drain a three.
Hit over you.
Yeah. I'm going to hit a dead leg three right in your face.
Yeah, he has like four of those dead legs and people are just. But it's like, yeah, hey, let Cade shoot. And I'm like, so you just want to lose with him hitting threes in your face? That's not the way to do this, man. Like,
yeah, and he's going to take a little bit of convincing to do it, but then he's just going to do it to you.
Yeah, like he's going to have a moment of self-reflection where he's like, again, I got to beat you this way. Ugh, I guess I'll spam the dead leg three button. Sure, I'll shoot 12 times. I don't want to. Can't I just have like a 5x5 every single game? No? Okay, sure. I guess I'll shoot 6 threes this game. Like that.
I mean, I will talk about this later, but like, it really is the, like, I'm going to perfectly set up the screen, destroy your big man, throw this absurd wraparound pass to my role man. Oh, he's going to blow the finish. All right. Now it's time to just like be Harden / Luka and blow by every single time and just finish at the rim. Like, yeah, they're both sensational prospects. And this is why it's like kind of becoming a conversation to me, at least in the same tier, maybe, but definitely not sold on that yet. A lot of
it's just guys who can win in like every way conceivable. That's what makes a superstar offensive player.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Support for the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast is also presented by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels and helping 2 million men all over the world get rid of hair on their balls. Manscaped is here to give you a fresh start to 2021 with their Perfect Package 3.0 that has all the right tools for the job. Come out of quarantine with clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe trimmer will reduce nicks to your two best friends. The third-generation trimmer even has a light to give you the glow-up you need in 2021. It's also time to freshen up down there this new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ARMCHAIR. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make Santa proud.
So can we talk about, now that we're done with the boring stuff, now can we talk about the extremely interesting stuff?
Sure, let's talk about defense.
Evan Mobley is a hilarious defender. Like, absolutely. Dudes who are that big shouldn't move that way, like by like one or two standard deviations. Like the best compliment I have is that he looks like an extremely good high school big man. Like I keep forgetting he's 7'2". Like I keep thinking he's 6'7". I'm like, oh, that's a good movement for a 6'7" guy. I'm like, oh, he's 7'2". He's like 7'1", 7'2". Oh my God. And then it sets in that, like, not only is he, like, a good mover, he's just an absolutely ludicrous mover, and it's not just in big man ways. Like, he will slide with guards.
Yeah.
He will bump things and then reroute all the time.
It's ridiculous.
And this isn't a Tyrus Thomas situation where he's just, like, a ludicrous mover. He's doing it, like, as one of the, like, two or three guys on USC who, like, consistently are in the right spots. And also cleaning up for other people as well. Like he sort of has the defensive version of what Cade has on offense, where he wants to do the right thing, but at the same time he's like, but I also have to clean up or we're not going to win these games.
Yeah, right.
I think that he deep down just wants to make the right rotations and to like a lot of his blocks are, you can almost see him be like, I probably shouldn't be helping over. It's against the scheme. I probably have a 2-step radius, but if I do step over in 3 steps, there might be a weak side crasher, but I probably will get this block. You can see him processing, sort of weighing it out, like, this is what we need to win. And then he just does it.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who can, yes, move with guards. He can play every pick and roll coverage perfectly. And then you can stick him, if you absolutely want to, for some reason, into the middle of a 2-3 zone, and he's going to block everything. He's an absolutely sensational and incredibly well-rounded defensive player. And something that I think we'll see at the NBA level, but with the strength, like even if you bump Mobley, like the reach is just too much. Yeah. Like it doesn't matter. You're not
still like get a hand.
He might still shot. He's like, might still block it. Like he, it just doesn't matter that if you drop a shoulder into Evan Mobley's chest and he flies back, the reach is that crazy that he's still going to put a good contest on you while also being.
And Mobley's also physical as hell and is going to fight that shoulder.
Yeah.
Drop.
That's the thing more than anything for me.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have
not going to let you drop his shoulder and just fly and just flail. Like he's going to get back into the play.
Oh, a lot of times he wants you to. Like, again, this is sort of the, like, being used to playing pros thing. Like, a lot of skinny guys kind of want to fight, but, like, Mobley hasn't gotten past that. He's gotten past the, like, I'm skinny and I want to fight you. It's that he has angles where he wants you to hit him so that he can, because he knows the recovery angle from that. So he's, like, he's already at the point where he's thinking about this in terms of reactions, where he's, like okay, so if I hit you this way, you're going to bounce off at this angle and I'm going to be able to get a weak side contest, where if you bounce out this way, I can still get in front. Like, this is very much a dude who's thinking about the reactions to things as he's doing them with regards to bumping people, and that is so exciting.
Yeah, and that combined with just the physical tools makes the rim protection just like so absurdly extraordinary. Like we talked about like the hot footwork he uses on offense. He does the same thing on defense to you know perfectly time his blocks and just the coordination and the flexibility. I think he had like my favorite block of the year against Santa Clara. I clipped this the other day where he like extended his right arm like all the way behind his body for a block after the offensive player jumped past him. And it's just like even when you make a little mistake, like Evan Mobley probably should have like tried to slide over and wall up so he doesn't have to do that ridiculous maneuver in the first place. But even when he does that, he has, you know, the ability to stay balance in midair and rotate his torso and his arm all the way behind him to just make ridiculous blocks like that. And those plays are just like routine. His ability to track the ball in midair with his hands and with his eyes and not foul and like get his hands on the ball for blocks. It's unbelievable. Like you know, talked about the quick leaping is there as well. Like it's just unreal. Like he's a really special rim protector prospect.
Yeah.
Like even without the strength,
the arm flexibility to like be able to get that as far back as he does. Like if you just watch the screen cap, like shoulders shouldn't move like that.
Like, especially not for like 7'2 people.
Yeah, especially not for tall, skinny people, which are usually like the least flexible people in the world. And he gets all of it. I mean, so I remember that when we talked about him last time, I said that the only thing that was interesting from his senior year was that he was trying to figure out referees and that he was trying to get as close to shot blocks or as goaltends as possible. And basically everything else could be thrown away. And he's taken that to a different level this year, where he is, again, very similar to like 60s, 70s big men, where he is the second person off the floor. Like if you watch any of the like old Red coaching videos or any time that Bill Russell talks about shot blocking, it's the second guy off the floor. And he has gotten this down to the point where he waits until the ball handler leaves their feet. He makes sure that they're not dumping it off. Then he'll hop over and gets it at the exact high point. Like if he had been there, like even like a millisecond later, it's probably getting called either because it's on the way down or it's in the backboard. And there is no chance for the ball handler to have any kind of kickoff because Mobley either has his other hand in the passing lane or the angle has disappeared because he's waited so long to time it up. And it's insanely difficult.
And guys get so pissed off at it, but like he's going to be right every time. Like if they review these, he's going to be right every time. Yeah. I think he had multiple of these last night, against Colorado where the timing is just absolutely impeccable. And he obviously has the reach and the quick leaping to get every single shot, but yeah, it's totally unbelievable. And these are all, you know, situations though, where we're talking about him, you know, in more of a, you know, primary setting and being, you know, a center in units, but he also has like all time weak side rim protector, not potential. Like he's going to be because no one can cover ground like that, and no one has that processing speed and then the contortion ability and length that he's going to be able to get to every shot. Like, spreading out the floor in the NBA is only going to make him more powerful because no one else can do what he's going to do.
I actually have so you know how every star has their particular way of manipulating, like, the referee's opinion of the rule set? Mm-hmm. Like, Giannis has like manipulated how offensive fouls work with regards to like what's exactly is your like your body's owned area. So like he'll use his shoulder and his elbows in a way that like is sort of offensive fouls, but because he's a star and because the NBA wants freedom of movement, it's allowed. Mobley's going to start catching blocks. Like he's going to
get
high point. He's going to just catch them, and he's done it. He'll be a star.
Yeah, he does it already.
No, but he's in college. They're not going to give him star calls in the NBA. Those are just going to be like, that's a star. It doesn't matter if it's anywhere close. They'll all be perfect because it's Mobley. But like he's going to start catching them. Full stop.
And then he's leading the break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his ability to like at this, it's always been like this, but to keep the ball in bounds after blocks, like it's ridiculous. Like just one of the many micro skills.
Have
like,
you guys added noticed?
So much value.
So he'll trace the ball a lot. So he's figuring out where he wants to block it to try to save it. And sometimes you can see him like get it earlier because he thinks that like it's going to go on the way down. In the league, he's just going to catch this, like because the refs are going to, you know, lean onto the side of a looser interpretation of the rules. Like we're going, like this was a thing that Dwight Howard could have done, but just chose to get style points instead. And we're going to have a guy who's like wired to just be like, oh, I'd like to start off the break because I have guard skills and I'm allowed to.
And that's the thing. I mean, he's just like, his and Isaiah's father, Eric Mobley, should be put in charge of whatever the NBA's like academy initiative ends up being to, you know, overhaul American development. He needs to be put in charge of all of the big men, because whatever he did developmentally with those two is the correct way to develop a big man. And every single human being that size who plays basketball needs to be doing exactly what they were doing. And not everyone will be capable of it. But I mean, Evan is just like so technically skilled in so many ways, in addition to, you know, being an all-time physical talent.
I mean, if you were just to think about how you would like a big man wired to win a basketball game, like Evan is basically that. If you were to be like, hi, what's a modern big? Like, what specific micro skills and micro wirings would you like? He's basically what you would choose. And Eric Mobley deserves all of the flowers for that, because he saw the way the NBA was going and basically fine-tuned ahead of time his son's games. Because both of them, like Isaiah doesn't have the physicality that Evan does, but like, you guys think he's probably going to at least have a good cup of coffee in the league, right? Just because he can pass?
In the NBA, I kind of doubt it. I don't think that he can score or move.
Oh, I think that he will shoot.
Okay. That would be the argument, but no, I don't think
I think that if you think that Evan has a lot of, like, basically because of the last thing you said, like, that you have to believe that there is going to be continual upside, even though Isaiah doesn't have the same physical tools, even though he doesn't have the same ludicrous movement abilities, that like the passing plus the shooting in at least backup units is like worthwhile of a couple of years in the league. If not only for the gameplay, but because isn't that exactly who you would want your other young bigs to learn from?
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I think the difference between the two of them physically is
dramatic.
Like, it's inconceivable. Like, it's really, like, truly inconceivable. Like, they're so obviously brothers because of, you know, skills and clearly the way they think. But, man, they could not look less related in terms of what they're capable of doing physically. Because
it's a fun case of like, what if you have the same player but one of them has all of the athleticism? Like,
yeah, like if you wanted to ask the question of like, what would Zion with no athletic ability look like you can kind of do that with Evan Mobley, and it's Isaiah Mobley, and it's, you know, it's not the greatest.
It's an all right color.
I actually have a player that is Zion.
Is it Raekwon?
No, it's not. It's a high school player. I'll show you guys the video afterwards. He has like a 90% foul rate. It's like he gets the line every single possession. It's hilarious, but like he can probably dunk with two hands sometimes.
Could you imagine Scotty Barnes, but the athletic version? That would be pretty fun. All right. Are we done on Mobley? Oh no. Okay, I wanted to put you guys on the spot. Currently, Mobley. So assuming everyone's got Cade tier 1, is Mobley tier 2 by himself, tier 2 with Suggs or someone else, or tier 2 alone?
Tier 2 alone for me.
Yeah, same for me as well.
I'm really struggling between tier 2 alone and tier 1 with Cade. I'm struggling with it. I think Mobley is kind of a total just game breaker as a team builder, to the point that like, is he a traditional, you know, star initiator? Probably not, or no, but he just changes what you can do so dramatically and raises the ceiling so dramatically that he might kind of be worth consideration there.
Okay. So then my question is, Cade and Mobley are two of the best blank prospects since LeBron.
I don't know. I think that my like, if I had to say right now, I would definitely say Luka and Zion are better. After that, I don't know.
So you say four. Two of the best four.
I don't know. I really don't know. This is not an I'm implying they're three and four after
that. No, I'm just saying you don't have to rank them. You just have to pick, like, draw the line on the outside, not on the
okay.
Outside.
Then they're two of the six or seven at least.
Yeah.
Like, conservatively, two of the six or seven best.
Okay.
Why? What do you think, PD?
I mean, to me, Cade is one.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like, prospect Cade is better than prospect Luka.
Okay.
Because Cade doesn't have the athleticism concerns. Like, Luka found more solutions when he got to the league, but Luka is starting at a lower athletic baseline.
So, like, we're talking very, very strictly prospect here.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You can't. And, like, Zion has injury concerns. Like, I feel like that's meaningful. But yeah, to me, Cade's one. Mobley's probably one of the five best prospects since Bron. Like, I mean, we're getting into some really intense hair splitting, but, like, we're in for a special year of figuring out what teams would be interesting and how to develop. Just, yeah, very excited.
Wait, PD, I'm going to put you on the spot with this. I don't have a take on this because I'm not informed on this guy as a prospect nearly enough, but Mobley versus AD as prospects.
Oh, that's extremely tough. I don't think I have an answer because I hadn't thought about it.
Well, I think that you should have to write this as a piece.
Okay. I will say this pretty comfortably. Mobley is the most exciting defensive player since college Nerlens. Just in terms of, like, watching them. Like, Zion was fun, but Zion was also, like, in a really weird circumstance where he's just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't call that Duke team principled defensively. And a lot of times Zion just did things where you're like, he's not going to close that down. Oh, he did. Where Mobley's, like, making reads, and I don't necessarily think that, like, NBA Zion has shown that college Zion was very much a circumstance of, like, you basically gave him an area to cover and were like, hey, figure it out, kid. Where having the assignments in the NBA has sort of exposed the limits of that because it's been pretty uniformly bad. I don't think that, you know, like, college Nerlens was a full-blown experience where dudes just had never seen anything like it, and I think that we're looking at a year with Evan Mobley.
All right, I think that'll do it for part one. I'm glad we did this. I feel really passionately about Evan Mobley. I just think that he is such a fascinating player and such a special one. I'm so excited to see him in the league, and for many years I think that he is going to be something really unique and just kind of one of a kind, and in so many ways, like, the future and also this weird throwback. Like, I want to ask Evan Mobley who he's studied, because it feels like the answer is literally everyone who has ever played the game at every position. Shout out to Evan Mobley and to Eric Mobley. Just amazing.
All right. So I think that's good for part one. We'll talk about more prospects not named Evan Mobley in part two. Thanks again to PD for coming on. PD, is there anything you want to plug at the moment?
I have a new recruiting piece out that features probably one of the most hyped but least critically looked at prospects of the last 30 years, along with other recruits worth your attention. And by the time this is published, I should have part one of my large shooting survey on shooting development and its trajectories.
PD, if you want to spoil anything about that, about that piece on on that hyped prospect right now, or get off any hot takes, not too hot though, not anything that's going to get you in trouble, any hot takes, no one is listening at this point, I think, because they probably think that we've outroed. or if you want to just leave the teaser out there and force people to go check out this piece, because you will be doing them a favor in doing so.
You know, if my Twitter account is still standing from the backlash I'm probably going to receive, I think that they might have seen it already. But here's to me saying that what I'm going to do is probably a bad decision.
All right, that seems like a good one.
As always, Follow the pod on Twitter at @prep_2propod. You can follow Max at @maxacarlin. Follow me at @ben_pfeiffer_. And with that, we'll see you in the next part.